Yo, 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 what is going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is I, your mother's favorite podcaster, aka the Microphone Messiah, back from my last podcast of 2023. You thought it was just going to end? It was just going to end with our usual recap of stuff? No. Episode 360, how appropriate that it's the Casties. We're giving out awards today, or tonight, or whenever you're listening to this. It could be 2024 when you're listening to this. We don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined by the current reigning and sometimes defending. I feel like Roman defends his title more than this guy, Brandon Tanguma.
Oh, that's just so cute of you, Philip, to just say I defend it. Are we going to defend it at World's End? You know, probably not. But, you know, Royal Rumble time comes around.
World's End.
Prestigious event.
I like good pay-per-views.
Exactly. So we're going to do it at Royal Rumble, but, you know, we'll take a little bit of high. It's a Christmas vacation, New Year's vacation, holiday vacation, you know, just sit back.
I mean, look, we normally...
Glad to be here.
Yes, of course, glad to be here. We normally do this at the last week of the year all the time. We are joined not by Katie, not by Marley, but by Baby Huey of In the Click and 107.7 The Bone fame, making his one-time appearance on the Bullet Cast. You know, we get him once a year for this award show. That's what makes it prestigious.
I blew our entire yearly budget on this appearance right here.
Right? I blew all $30 to get Baby Huey. I bought him a couple Crunch Wraps from Taco Bell and a couple Baja Blast. And some cinnamon twists. You know, he loves those cinnamon twists. Do you like the cinnamon twist?
I like it all. I love Taco Bell. I love everything on the menu.
Just had Taco Bell earlier, man.
I had some the other night. So.
There we go. What's up, Baby Huey?
What's up, guys? Super excited to be back with you. Thank you, Phil, for that introduction. Make me feel extra special on this holiday season. Yes, make my big return for the Casties. I'm always honored to be a part of this show. It's always a fun year back or year in review. Looking back at all the events of this past year, it's crazy, Phil, because I was looking over, you know, your ballots of all the different categories that we're going to be discussing. And man, I was just, so much has happened this past year. I'm like, feels so long ago. But yeah, that was only a few months ago, or that was 6 months ago. So it's really going to be a lot of fun to talk about this stuff and just going back into the brain and see what else, all the fun things we did and experienced this year. So very excited to be here. Thank you again.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun to talk about, but what's never fun to talk about is the in memoriam. We do this every year for those that we have lost in the wrestling world. So with that being said, I'm going to list them off. Mantar, Jerry Jarrett, Lanny Poffo, Draws, Bushwhacker Butch, Superstar Billy Graham, The Iron Sheik, Jay Briscoe, The Legendary Terry Funk, and The Impeccable Bray Wyatt. It's still crazy that Bray's gone. Like, I saw JoJo post on her Instagram, and I'm like, oh, that just breaks my heart, man. It's unbelievable. But yeah, rest in peace to all of those we have lost in 2023. Hopefully they're, it never gets easy, but hopefully, you know, there's some healing that's been done with all these families that have lost their loved ones.
Yeah, just looking over this list here, and it's just crazy. The still thing about just, you know, two of the names that jump out are Jay Briscoe and Bray Wyatt. As far as two young guys, they're younger than me, and unfortunately passed away way too young. Jay Briscoe earlier this year from the car accident, and Bray Wyatt with his health. I think it was reported COVID related. COVID related. So. But yeah, both of them still in the prime of their wrestling careers right now. And just with that being said, these two guys who are still so young, just the wrestling world coming out and showing support for both of them and how much they mean to them. And Bray Wyatt, he was just getting back into the groove of things of his return, most recent return with WWE. And coming off that feud with LA Knight and kind of seeing what was next for him. What were the possibilities of this newer era of WWE with Triple H involved in creative, head of creative? What could have been? What could have been the ideas? And yes, our hearts go out to JoJo, just following her on social media and she's still just so heartbroken, obviously so, but just, you know, it's tough right now with the holiday season and their kids. But it's cool, WWE with the merch, they put them in a Legends deal. So now the merchandise that sold will go to his kids. And then I also feel bad for his family members, his sister, who I've known through wrestling media and stuff. Just she's been posting stuff too of him lately. And but yeah, Jay Briscoe, obviously Mark still wrestling with AEW, and it's tough to watch him wrestle because he you know, he's in the Continental Classic right now with AEW, and he's been losing, but he says this is his rookie year of being a single star, singles wrestler. He's so used to being a tag team wrestler with his brother. So it's just been, you know, really tough to watch him. He's still grieving. So, but then all the other veterans too, you know, I mean, Terry Funk, one of the all-time greats, and just, he's a legend. So, I mean, the guy lived such a great long wrestling career life. And then, Iron Sheik, Billy Graham, Lanny Poffo, Jerry Jarrett. Well, you know, all these names here, it's always tough losing wrestlers. Just because there's so much, wrestling's known for its tragedies and losses. So it's always tough to go down the list of the names here. So, but yeah, no, it's thank you to all of them for entertaining us all these years in the pro wrestling world.
Absolutely. As somebody who's starting to get in this from the in-ring aspect, you know, just thank you for lacing up your boots and paving the way. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Brandon, you have any thoughts, comments?
I think Baby Huey, you know, summed it up perfectly. Absolutely. You know, T's and P's to all these guys. And I think obviously the Bray Wyatt stands out because he's the youngest and kind of in the prime of his career, as well as Jay Briscoe. But I think kind of looking through all of them, like a lot of these guys were from that 80s golden age of WWF, mm-hmm. and they kind of were the lone ones that kind of, like, you know, got out of that and kind of lived longer lives. And now, unfortunately, now old age is kind of catching up with a lot of them. And mm-hmm. we're kind of losing a lot of that era of wrestlers right now because of just time's gone by.
Absolutely.
Draws. That was what I was going to say real quick. Draws. I mean, I saw, you know, his time in WWE and his unfortunate, incident with WWE, and he got paralyzed, but, you know, he was able to live still a productive life in a wheelchair for all these years since that accident. But it's tough. You know, if he didn't have that accident, how he could have still lived a much better life up to this day. But yeah, no, it's a RIP to all of them.
Absolutely. I was listening to Sam Roberts' recap of the year that was 2023, and mm-hmm. it gave me an idea. We haven't done this. I normally just like talk about, you know, each thing that happens with the casties. I figured just to kind of change it up, I created a list, and I'm just going to read through them. And, you know, just things that stick out, man. I mean, 2023 was amazing. You know, Mercedes Moné pops up in New Japan, grabs the New Japan Women's Championship. You know, we were all there for that. A segment ended the Royal Rumble with Sami Zayn turning on Roman Reigns and the Bloodline and leaving Jey Uso distraught. I mean, this is where the whole cinema thing started, right? Mm-hmm. Really right mm-hmm. here. Danielson and MJF, that Iron Man match, another thing we were all in the building for. One of the bigger shockers of the year, WWE getting sold. You know, Vince McMahon bought the company in 1983 for $1 million, sold it 40 years later for $9.3 billion. That's crazy. Cody didn't get to finish the story. Huey, you were in the building for this. I was outside. But nonetheless, Cody did not get to finish the story. Roman, the unthinkable happened. He got pinned in London. Money in the Bank. Jey Uso was the one to pin the one in a tag team match, not singles competition. LA Knight's rise, you know, what happened with the pitch black match with Bray Wyatt, and then we transitioned into SummerSlam and him winning that battle royal and him getting an opportunity at Roman Reigns and the Undisputed title. Trinity makes an impact. She pops up over an impact. Most people thought she would go over to AEW or even maybe follow Mercedes over to New Japan, but no, she went to go make an impact somewhere else for herself. CM Punk pops up everywhere. during his hiatus from AEW, pops up at the New Japan show we were at, popped up at TNA or Impact, and then popped up backstage at WWE. Just saw the photos. He was asked to leave. All that before his big AEW return. And then, of course, the brawl in, the altercation with Jack Perry, and how quickly that stuff hit as soon as it happened was wild. That's probably even more wild than the thing that happened itself. Main event, Jey Uso using that energy of pinning the tribal chief, his cousin, to go on and, you know, do the stuff he's doing now. Then Gunther's dominance, your doppelganger, baby Huey. Mm-hmm. I mean, the longest reigning Intercontinental champion of all time. I mean, the matches he's put on, man, with Chad Gable, and, you know, we were there for the dark match in Sacramento that he had with Seth Rollins, and the Ciampa one at Raw in San Jose, and then, I mean, the Drew and the Sheamus, I mean, him just, and the performance in the Rumble with Cody, I mean, just an unbelievable year for the Ring General. So I'll go with Brandon. Are there anything, any of these things that stick out? I mean, obviously, like the Punk like stuff, and obviously we'll talk about that like when we get to the awards, but just any of these other little things that stick out to you?
I mean, I know we'll talk about them because a lot of these aspects of these moments are a part of the casties, but I mean, I think I wanted to shine a spotlight on the Danielson MJF Iron Man match because I just absolutely loved that match and that show in general. I thought AEW Revolution was a great show, and it being here in San Francisco. You know, we haven't really gotten a big, big show here in the Bay Area, I think, kind of since WrestleMania all those years ago. So it was kind of fun to kind of have that type of environment back here in the Bay. So, and I may have had one too many Modelo Negros during that time, but it was still a great time.
You had one too many libations?
See.
Yeet.
Shout out to my boy Tyler, who apparently when he gets hammered, he starts spending money. So some of those Modelo Negros were free.
Hey, there you go. Baby Huey.
I was just looking down this list here. Man, something, it's kind of part of number four here, what you list off here as far as WWE gets sold. Let's not forget Vince McMahon losing power with WWE as far as he's no longer in charge of WWE anymore. They got, you know, they merged with Endeavor and became this new company, TKO, with UFC and WWE. And he, while he's on the chair, he's one of the board members, he's not the owner of WWE anymore. The first time in, what, 40 years? I'm trying to think of what.
Not even that, bro. Like, it goes back to Jess McMahon, his grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
Capital Wrestling, you know? Like,
yeah.
The first time in decades. 70-something years.
Yeah, McMahon's not owning WWE. But the big thing was, even though, like, he retired last year before SummerSlam 2022, then he started lurking back in kind of earlier this year and starting to invoke some of his power with the number of shares he has and stuff, and trying to have input on creative, and Triple H and his team were, you know, coming up with the show format and the storylines, but he would have to go run it by Vince to get his approval, or he would, you know, red pen stuff and sign off on stuff. So for a few months, it was like Vince was like lurking in the shadows by way of Zoom. While he's not at the arena, he was still having a presence on the show, his fingerprints on it. So there were times where, you know, that Raw after Mania was terrible this year, unfortunately, because Vince, I was like, his night, he came back and was taking over creative.
I don't know. I was in the building for that, fortunately. Yeah. And Juicy and I, shout out Juicy for now, we were like, yeah, I'm so about Brock, yeah.
So, but I was going to say, with that being said, and then a couple months later, it was kind of announced that Ari, Brandon, am I pronouncing Ari Emanuel? Is that I'm pronouncing it right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he asked me, Philip.
So Ari more or less knighted Triple H's head of creative. It's his show now to run everything, all three brands, all WWE related. And Vince not in charge anymore. He told him, you focus on other projects and, you know, TV deals and, or even more Nick Khan's thing. Vince is just there on the board. It's just like, a lot of people are saying that, like, did he get kind of played in this situation? He didn't sell it. He just merged his company with another. And so it's like, did he get played out of power? I think he thought this merger was going to put him back in charge of everything. But really, Ari kind of said, no, you go stay over here now. We trust Triple H to run everything. So I think that's another big story this year is Triple H took over head of creative, and Vince kind of lost all his power.
Yeah, I
that
mean,
he really wants.
And, you know, Stephanie, like, she left, then came back, was the co-CEO with Nick Khan, then left, Nick Khan was the sole CEO.
Yep.
Vince had all the shares, and then...
There seems to be some family drama that no one's talking about, but seems to be bubbling.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Shane came back and tore his quads. I mean, it's it's a lot that happened this year, man. I mean...
Shout out Snoop. I mean, that... You okay, Ko? One of the best moments of the year. We're not going to talk about it, but that was one of the best moments of the year.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, with the TKO or the UFC merger, you're starting to see that, like, other people from the UFC and their other sports worlds are starting to pop up more at WWE events. I saw Lisa Ann was at the Madison Square Garden show tonight, and Pearl Gonzalez. Yes.
Big fan.
Lisa Ann the GOAT. Pearl Gonzalez.
She's a great sports podcast.
Former UFC fighter.
Oh, really?
She was popping up stuff.
Where do you guys know her from?
Phil, do you want to answer that? Like,
blank Sarah Palin. Anyway, yeah, Pearl Gonzalez, a UFC fighter. You know, she's popping up at stuff. So nice to see all that's going down. I mean, just mine. The air that got sucked out of SoFi Stadium, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah,
I was already miles away by that point. I was soaking, but nonetheless, I was watching it on my phone and I felt it. I was like, oh man, that sucks.
I mean, Phil, and this is a great list, kind of recapping a lot of the major stuff. But keep in mind, you know, some of the other things that happened as far as you know, TNA coming back, Impact announced the return of TNA. That was a big moment for a lot of fans to get excited for. So we'll see how that plays out in the new year. But also just some of the stuff New Japan's been doing, working with AEW more, Okada coming back to the States. I mean, free agency is another thing too. Will Ospreay officially announcing he's going to sign when AEW, when his contract's up with New Japan, where Okada's going to go in the new year. So it's been a really busy year from a news standpoint as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And
where does Raw sign the TV deal? And then how does that impact AEW? Because there's rumors that maybe it goes to Warner, which I don't think it will. But if it does, AEW's in big trouble.
I mean, they have the WWE on TNT, you know, social medias. Why not? Why not? Monday nights on TNT, why not?
That'd be so trippy. As a kid of the Attitude Era, when I turned to TNT, it was to see Ted Turner and his WCW. So I cannot imagine WWE anywhere else but USA or Spike TV for a couple of years.
Or TNN.
TNN. Yeah.
That was another one. SmackDown, they've been everywhere. Cron 4, Sci-Fi, you know.
UPN.
44 cable. They've been everywhere. Man. They've been everywhere. Jesus. Yeah, man. As far as favorite moments from this year, what are some of your favorite moments that you've got to witness or be in the building for an experience? We'll go with Baby Huey with this.
Well, definitely WrestleMania 39, being there at SoFi Stadium, as you just mentioned, Phil. Just, it's really amazing how WWE has expanded WrestleMania to 2 days, rightfully so, because the last one-day one back in New York, back in, 2019, that was way too long. So I'm glad they decided to break it off into two and do 2 days, make it a two-day event. It makes this feel more bigger that way, but it's nicely breaks things up. But just, you know, just the atmosphere of WrestleMania, wherever city it's in, it just takes over the city, and just the vibes and all the shows that happen in that area. So it's so much fun. But Brandon, as he mentioned, AEW coming to the Bay Area for a big pay-per-view, but also their first time in the Bay Area doing stuff at the Cow Palace. That was a lot of fun. But just Revolution, big pay-per-view, because they only do now they're kind of expanding to more monthly pay-per-views. But before that, it was like once a quarter. So the fact that one of their big four pay-per-views was in the Bay Area, that was amazing. So also shout out to all the great independent pro wrestling we got to see in the Bay Area this past year. So many promotions are busy doing shows and giving opportunity for independent wrestlers a place to work. So the Bay Area wrestling scene's doing really well. So we're spoiled right now. Think about it. Just, there's so much wrestling every single week as far as WWE, AEW, New Japan, Impact, MLW, NWA, the local independents, GCW. There's so much. So It's there's plenty to choose from as a wrestling fan.
Brendan.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun year. I maybe didn't go to as many, you know, big time WWE shows. I mean, it's been a while since I've been to a WWE show, to be honest. But, you know, baby, we said Revolution was a great show. I was able to go to Full Gear down in LA. That was, you know, it had its ups and downs. But I mean, the two hardcore matches that Adam Page was a part of, the Moxley one, and then obviously the Swerve one that happened, two absolutely fantastic matches. And then, you know, some indie shows that I've gone to throughout the year, not as many as you guys have, but you know, from like the West Coast shows before Revolution, which is one of the bigger ones of the year, down to just a small little, you know, school showcase at Oasis.
We got to go to an AEW Ring of Honor taping in Oakland. The three of us.
Yes, got to see Sting's one of his last matches in California. Yeah, I finally got to see Edge wrestle. That was cool. I mean, Adam Copeland. For me, man. Just all the things I've been able to do in the wrestling business, man. I mean, the commentary really took off this year. I hit some strides, you know. Just thank you to everybody I've been on the call with. Mike Wexler, Pollo Delmar, Jordan Castle, Bossman Slash, Anton Voorhees. You know what I'm saying? And then I called with Veda Scott, too. Yeah, thank you to her. That was a big one for me. And then just stepping in the ring, man. I want to shout out Jacob Fatu, Journey Fatu. Iosefa Parisi, Juicy Finau, man, they coming back from injury, man. I didn't really think I'd be able to do this shit, but here we are, man. And to wrestle at Nox Pro in front of Rikishi and Black Pearl. I mean, we know how great their family is. We see what the Usos and Roman and Solo are doing and everything everybody else in their family's done. But to perform in front of, you know, guys like that have that kind of knowledge for this business and to perform on a stage like that was a real blessing, and I'm honored and I'm privileged. Thank you to my Usos and my Toko, man. Malo, 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 Usos and Toko. That's mine. Yeah.
Well, we're all proud of you, Phil, for pursuing this and getting the ring and laying the smack down on some people, some of the clips you were sharing on social.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And walk me to the ring next time, huh?
I like the red pants. You got that as well.
Yeah.
Also, hey, Phil, it was fun. You and I go see Nigel McGuinness do some magic at yes. the Alameda Comedy Club, and like half the AEW roster was in that room with us.
Yes, we did that. I got to pick Thunder Rosa's brain real quick. That was cool.
The women's division was behind us, sitting behind us.
Yeah, the Josh Woods was there. It was a great time, you know.
Lean Mean Jake was there, and he yes. hit me up to do a video for him.
Yes, Lean Mean Jake made his Oasis Pro debut at the last show. You know, if you need a manager, don't go to him. No, I'm just playing. He has cards, you know, sign up with Lean Mean Industries, all that. But the time for talking, or we shouldn't say that. We still have more podcasts to do.
There is a lot more time for talking.
But it is time to give out awards. All right. It is time to give out the casties. Dun, 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 dun. Nobody? Okay, I'm sorry. I'll stop.
Do.
Oh, okay. All right, so here we go. We've condensed them down. We've gotten rid of a couple. So I think we only have how many awards do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We have 13 awards. There used to be a lot more. Trust me. We got rid of a lot. All right. So here we go. Breakout Star of the Year. The nominees are Lola Vice, L.A. Knight. Yeah. El Hijo del Vikingo. Yoda Tsuji. I swear.
Yoda Tsuji.
Yoda Tsuji. Thank you.
Nailed it.
Tiffany Stratton, Julia Hart, Trick Williams, Jay Malachi, and Lucky Ali. Ladies and gentlemen. The oldest breakout star in history, L.A. Knight. Yeah, he is your winner of the Casty. Now, look, when we put him on here as breakout star, we obviously don't mean like breakout in like just starting out in his career. We mean the breakout as in, you know, finally getting that opportunity to shine. That's what we meant when we put him on here. So congratulations to L.A. Knight, his first ever Casty. Won a Casty before he won a championship in WWE. Look at that.
Man. His most prestigious award, you know, unfortunately didn't win a lot of, you know, didn't win those big time matches we thought he would during this year, but he's gotten just so over this year.
Exactly. And
I mean, this was my vote. And as you said, he's older, but just because you're older doesn't mean you can have a breakout. You know, we talk about like guys like DDP and others who might, you know, hit their stride later. And I think LA Knight will continue in 2024.
Absolutely. You know, you don't have to go over to get over. Hello.
Hell yeah, brother.
Well, I also picked LA Knight as well, but my thinking behind was, yeah, regardless of age, out of everyone on that list, I was thinking from the standpoint, who had the biggest reaction from the crowd, but also accomplished probably the biggest feats you can do in pro wrestling. And it was LA Knight. He got to wrestle Roman Reigns for the title for a PLE, which was what, Crown Jewel this year, on the main roster for WWE. Everyone else on that list, no offense to them, but just where they're currently placed right now in their career, a lot of them are on NXT, which is still technically developmental for WWE. So I see for some of them, while they're successful in developmental, I still think they're going to break out at the next level at some point in the near future on the main roster. And some of them are for smaller companies as well. So that, for me, I'm just thinking LA Knight, he broke out, had a huge reaction, did the biggest things you could do in pro wrestling this year on the biggest stage. So that's why I think the award should go to him because of what he accomplished this year.
Absolutely. I picked Tiffany Stratton just because, you know, her NXT Women's title run, the little feud she had with Becky. Yeah, she excuse me. She had a good year. And then Trick Williams, his performance in the last 90 seconds of that Iron Survivor Challenge, unbelievable.
I think he could be an early candidate for next year. I think he could be a breakout star. I think 2024 is really going to be his year. You can make the argument he's bigger than Carmella Hayes right now. So yep. He's really going to probably have a big year for lined up. I think Shawn Michaels has big plans for him.
You just make sure you whoop that Trick. Hello.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I like the vote for Tiffany Stratton because I think if you're just going from like just young to break out in that type of sense, I definitely think she had a fantastic year. And I think her finishing second, I don't know what the exact votes are, but I think Tiffany Stratton should get some credit as well because I think she did have she kind of went from being the Barbie mean girl to kind of elevating her character to something much more than that.
She actually did finish in second. Yeah. And the hello was the transition to the next award. I don't know why you just cut me off like
hello.
That. That's not you didn't do it right.
Oh, sorry.
You got to put some stank on it.
Yellow.
You got to put some stank on it. Hello. Moving on. Tag Team of the Year Award. Here we go. Your nominees: FTR, The Gun Club, The Usos, MK Ultra. That's Masha Slamovich and Killer Kelly. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, ABC, which is Ace Austin and Chris Bay, the West Coast Wrecking Crew consisting of Jerome Nelson and Royce Isaacs, Chelsea Green and Piper Niven, the Motor City Machine Guns and Aussie Open. Ladies and gentlemen, we're your winner. We have a tie. We have a tie. It's the Gun Club and the Usos. They both win. Okay? I didn't expect that. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, usually, you know, it'd be an FTR or the Usos. They've won like the past two awards, I believe. But yeah, I mean, the Gun Club, that just shows the work that they've done, you know. Maybe it all turned around when they walked out to that 50 Cent song. Still don't know why Tony Khan paid for that. But yeah, that maybe that's where it all turned around. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I agree with both. I can see both. I mean, personally, I voted Usos. Because I really felt they dominated the first third of the year, even though the tag team did kind of dissolve by SummerSlam. But you can make a point, the first half of the year, they were crushing it as a tag team. As far as going up to WrestleMania, they were still part of the Bloodline, Roman Reigns. After WrestleMania, though, that's where things kind of, the Civil War started with the Bloodline. Even though they didn't have the tag titles anymore, they still were in the top story with WWE and just having those matches against their brother Solo and Roman Reigns at Money in the Bank. As you mentioned earlier, one of the moments of the year was Roman getting pinned by Jey Uso in that tag team match. That was a big moment. So with or without the titles, the first half of the year, Usos were dominating WWE television, great performances. Now, what happened afterwards in SummerSlam and Jimmy turning on Jay, I feel like that's when the Bloodline story kind of really jumped the shark at that point. And now I think they're trying to figure out what to do next. They're just killing time till WrestleMania. That's what it feels like.
Remember, well, Jimmy didn't turn on Jay. He tried to save Jay from turning into Roman. That was his excuse.
Yeah. But then, same time, it just, and then Jay didn't have, want anything to do with it and still super kicked him when he
he just had enough.
Yeah. So that was my thing. Now, the Gun Club, they were the obnoxious tag team that was just taking the titles off FTR, and they were just almost like transitional champions. But they really came into their own when they joined Juice Robinson and Jay White, and the Gun Club kind of really became this whole thing. I mean, I'm still confused. Are they technically Bullet Club? Brandon, I don't know if you would know more about this. Are they technically Bullet Clubs?
I mean, I guess they're Bullet Club. They have the logo. They come out with the little Bullet Club intro song thing.
They're NWO 2000.
Yeah, but Jay White got kicked out of Bullet Club when he left.
Just don't think about it that much. Just don't. It's Bullet Club, you know, too sweet, brother.
But see, if anything, what I like about Gun Club, I watched them. Reminds me of DX. Triple H had DX with X-Pac, Billy Gunn, Road Dogg, China. That era of DX, that's what Gun Club kind of reminds me of. And you look at it, I mean, hell, two of Billy's kids are the Gun Club who are part of the tag team or part of this faction here. So, but they've really come in their own as this obnoxious faction, but they've been dominant and been putting on wins. And so they've been really entertaining to watch and doing some great stuff on Collision mostly.
Yeah, absolutely. To be honest, I couldn't really remember who I even voted for because I think this tag team scene was kind of tough to decipher because, like you said, Usos was kind of like at the beginning. FTR, you know, they've kind of been sporadic throughout. Guns, they were a little earlier as well. So there wasn't like a true blue team that I think stood out this year. And I think that's kind of what played out in the voting with the two of them. I think, as you said, I think the Guns, they've taken a good step up since becoming, you know, Billy Gunn's kids to like their own thing. And they could have been on the breakout stars and they could have had a good running. But I think the Guns themselves have really put it together. Maybe if they go out of Jay White's shadow, they could be like their own thing, which they kind of are at the moment. I think they could even take another step further in the tag team scene.
I was going to say FTR, it's kind of unfortunate. I don't know if it's by their choosing or not, but yeah, they were away the first beginning part of this year. Like, oh, are they going to re-sign with AEW or go back to WWE? Who knows? They come back and they kind of instantly win the titles back and they didn't really do much with them. They had the titles for a bit and then the rumors are they didn't want to take on Young Bucks again. So they just dropped the titles on a random episode Collision to Big Bill and Ricky Starks. And they kind of haven't really done much since. And so I know one of them had the gun issues, the arrested for pulling a gun out.
Dax had a podcast for like 6 weeks.
Yeah. So FTR, I felt like kind of like took a step back this year. Now, when CM Punk was around, they seemed to be doing a lot more. But once CM Punk was gone, they kind of just took a step back from their presence on AEW television.
That's okay. They know where to find him. They know where to find him. Yeah, you know? Come on, man. Let's do it. Let's get into these other awards. Women's Wrestler of the Year. Let's hit these nominees. The Women's World Champion, Rhea Ripley. The WWE Women's Champion, Io Sky. You have Julia from Stardom. You have Trish Stratus, the Hall of Famer. You have the Impact Knockouts Champion, Trinity. The Man, Becky Lynch. The EST, Bianca Belair. The Russian Dynamite, Masha Slamovich. Lightning in a Bottle, Sandra Moon. And then Timeless, Toni Storm, the AEW Women's World Champion. Guys, we know who won this. Mommy won. I mean, and she dominated this. I mean, let me go back and look at the stats here. So yeah, percentage. Bro, we had 72%. She dominated this whole thing, man.
Okay.
But yeah, no, shout out to Rhea Ripley. I mean, she's grown so much since joining the Judgment Day, and she's taken a step forward and just been so dominant. I mean, just beating the likes of Zelina Vega, Natalya, just dominating people like that. It's nice to see, man. Congrats.
Yeah, shout out Mommy, shout out Rhea Ripley. Shout out Julia. I know we don't really talk about Stardom and Japanese wrestling and that stuff, but she's been doing fantastic work over there. And Rhea Ripley, I think, as you said, landslide winner. You know, the character work, how over she's gotten, they kind of have, she's still technically heel, but everyone loves her and she's going to be turning eventually. And I think you can maybe criticize her feuds haven't been, you know, that great, I think, since the WrestleMania match, but I think her character and how over she is kind of just carries her presence on Raw. So that just kind of shows how over she is at the moment, because the actual wrestling part, as like, honestly, as much as I love her, Ripley hasn't like kind of been that great, to be honest, in 2023.
Baby Huey.
Yeah, no, I agree with Brandon as far as amazing match. You can argue maybe match of the weekend from WrestleMania 39 against Charlotte Flair. And she was the right decision for her to win. So that was a big moment for her. Now, I'm with you as far as her matches have not been the best, like as far as having wrestling on a regular basis. She has the title around her a lot, but that just shows, despite her match not wrestling a lot, she is, you could argue, like the main character of Monday Night Raw. Judgment Day has really become the main faction of all of WWE, and she is on Raw every single week doing multiple segments, in-ring segment, the occasional match, backstage segments. Her fingerprints are all over Raw every week. So despite not wrestling all the time, you see her all the time. So you still are like, you're like reminded that she is a dominant champion right now. So it's just cool. And then, you know, they try to like build up some opponents. You know, most recently Zoe Stark for a Survivor Series. They try to build her up quickly, you know, after she won that number one contenders battle royal match and some of the other feuds she had earlier this year. So they're trying to build up some legit competitors for her. But regardless of the matches alone, her character work, the tension with Judgment Day and where they're going, even the new stuff recently with R-Truth, she has become such a main, you can argue she's one of the top recognizable names on that company. So this has been a big year for her, and she's been a big face with that championship.
Absolutely. Have Nia beat Becky at day one, and then have Nia take the title off of Rhea. There we go. Boom.
I don't know about that. Underrated match, I think, of the year. Rhea and Zelina Vega in Puerto Rico. I thought that was one of her better matches.
You can. Well, what a way to tell me to F off. Wow, huh? All right. You
I'm trying to get my issue.
You F off so I can get off this next award, huh? Promo of the yes, year. Daddy. All right. Don't call me that. I'm not Randy Orton.
Sorry.
Promo of the year. The nominees are Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, SmackDown March 3rd. That's the one where Roman lays down both championships. It was like, you ever competed for one of these before? And they talk about Dusty. CM Punk, the AEW return, Collision June 17th, walks out with the boots around his neck, walks out with the bag, talks about how he works in an industry full of counterfeit bucks and, you know, stop him when he's telling lies. AEW Four Pillars promo, AEW Dynamite March 24th, leading into or May 24th, I'm sorry. That was a real good one. Adam Copeland and Christian Cage, go F yourself, from AEW Dynamite on October 4th. And then Thank You, Trish, the promo that Trish cut after she officially had her heel turn on April 17th on a Monday Night Raw. And the winner is Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes from SmackDown on March 3rd. I mean, it was a great way to build up this big bout between the two gentlemen. And we kind of saw a different side of Roman Reigns, you know, the way he was talking about Dusty Rhodes and, you know, how Dusty told him, like, you have it. You know, you can't sell it. You can't get rid of it if you want to. You have it. You are it. So that was just that was really well done. Huey, thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that was definitely promo of the year as far as you're selling the main event of the biggest show of the year, which was Cody versus Roman, WrestleMania 39, night two. And so after Cody won the Rumble, I like how more or less for the next couple months, they kept them apart as far as they didn't touch each other, right? Or didn't like get into like physical altercation, if I remember correctly. I mean, it seems so long ago now. But with that being said, they had to sell this match off the promos. And Cody's one of the best in the game. Roman, as the tribal chief, has really come into his own as an amazing talker in the ring these last few years. And so what better way to kind of get us all emotionally involved to care about this match is the way Cody's about finishing the story, which is achieving the title that his dad never won. And Roman is the person he's going after. But then Roman takes a dig at him. He's like, you care so much about your dad, but your dad cared about me a lot. So just that dynamic, that back and forth dynamic was really just thinking about it now. Just, I remember watching it live and be like, oh, he did not say that. And so it was really just emotionally a lot. And then even, you know, Paul Heyman's involvement as well, building that up. But that promo that night, just the back and forth was so good. And, but yeah, that was such a, just to relive that again, that would be so cool. But so we'll see what happens. If that's the the story going to be part two next year, next year's WrestleMania.
We shall see. They had that little face off a couple months ago on SmackDown. They're not done. They're not done. Brandon.
I mean, I agree with this one. A promo of the year should be a promo that gets people invested, gets them hyped. And I think this, it's not about insider references. Mm-hmm. Talked about the dirt sheets. It's about building up a match to get people invested. I think this is exactly what it was. And this was just, you know, they're literally building the main event to WrestleMania. And I think this was the best part of that feud. And hopefully they run it back. Obviously not the exact same thing, but they do something very similar next year when they have that rematch at WrestleMania 40. And it's kind of hard to pin down, I would say, you know, a Jon Moxley promo. But I think Jon Moxley's backstage promos he does on Dynamite almost on a weekly basis at this point are usually always fantastic.
So I mean,
Jon Moxley.
If we can talk about promos, Roman Reigns off mic promos to the camera. Those are killer. Man, I can hear Roman's promo to Cody at WrestleMania 40. I beat you already. I'm just gonna smash you again. We can all hear it. All right, OMG moment of the year.
Oh, go ahead. Actually, keep going. Sorry.
No. Do you have something, baby?
No, actually, this would be a perfect segue to talk about that. There's something else moment of the year we didn't talk about, but I'll go ahead. Perfect timing right now. You're going to this category.
All right. OMG moment of the year. CM Punk gets fired from AEW and makes his WWE return. WWE getting sold for $9.3 billion. Adam Edge Copeland's AEW debut. Jade Cargill signs with World Wrestling Entertainment. Hangman drinks Swerve's blood. Braun Breaker tries to kill Von Wagner. And The Rock makes a surprise return on SmackDown. So before I announce the winner, what were you about to say?
Another one, you could just say honorable mention, return of Randy Orton as well. That was a big moment with Survivor Series, but I know that kind of got overshadowed on CM Punk's return, but that was something, you know, a lot of people were anticipating and excited for.
Well, no, they did it right. I mean, they waited so they can still get his pop by the mm-hmm. surprise of his music hitting.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, they did that right, but obviously it's the CM Punk getting fired and showing up in WWE. I mean, something that we never thought would happen. He trashed the company for years and years and years and years. I mean, the first podcast I ever heard was that Colt Cabana one where he's just obliterating the company and firing nukes and pipe bombs and everything in between, man. I mean, it was something. And, you know, I know he has this negative connotation now because people just believe dirt sheets without actually knowing what really happened because we're not backstage. Mm-hmm. But I've always been a CM Punk fan. I love CM Punk. Had the opportunity to be in an elevator with him this year. Brandon was there.
Now,
nice guy. I didn't fear for my life. But yeah, no, I've always been a Punk fan. He's just, he's my generation Stone Cold, man. And I'm happy he's back where he belongs so he can finish his story mm-hmm. and main event of WrestleMania. Yeah.
I mean, I think this is the first one I kind of disagree with. Now, I understand where people are coming from. I voted for WWE getting sold. Now, I get it. At the time, we kind of knew it was going to be coming. But still, just the fact that a Vince McMahon-led WWE be no longer, because I forget what it was last year if we had Vince McMahon retiring as the winner last year. But I still think that's just crazy to fathom that now there's no McMahon technically in charge of wrestling in terms of WWE. So that was my vote. And, you know, Baby Huey kind of laid it out at the beginning, talking about the moments and stuff. But I think still the fact that WWE is in different hands is, you know, amazing and just incomprehensible if we would ask like 5 years ago.
Absolutely. Baby Huey.
Yeah. I remember WrestleMania weekend when, so the announcement officially came out that Monday, right? The day after WrestleMania Night 2.
Yeah, but someone asked Triple H at the press conference, and he was just very cheeky about it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because I remember, so the rumors were coming out that Sunday morning, WrestleMania weekend, and that was kind of like people were talking in the press box, be like, hey, I think they're about to be sold. And so, yes, you're right, Brandon, the press conference after Night 2, that was like one of the early questions asked was like, hey, is it true WWE is going to be sold or merged with the company? What can you tell us? And yeah, Triple H kind of played it off. Didn't know much at the moment. But yeah, no, that's a big deal as far as the biggest wrestling company in the world being sold off, no longer with Vince McMahon in charge. That was a big deal. So I'm with you, Brandon. I mean, all the outlets were running with this, and but as far as like an in-ring standpoint, I could see how the winner being CM Punk.
Also a little, you know, recency biased.
Yes. But I noticed, Phil, you kind of combined all three things together. There was like three major things CM Punk did this year. Coming back from injury, and AEW pretty much gave him his Saturday night show, Collision, AEW Collision. So that way he could avoid half the roster on Dynamite. So they gave him his own show on TNT. And then comes back from injury, that episode, does that promo with the bag, tell me lies when you hear them. And then a couple months later, gets in that altercation with Jungle Boy backstage at All In, gets fired a few days later. So that's part two. And then part three, showing up in WWE for the first time in almost 10 years. So what a summer of Punk, more or less, these last few months have been.
What is this, like summer of Punk 4?
I was going to say, yeah, is it part four now?
Yeah, it's part four. You know, you have the Ring of Honor, you have the WWE one, you have the one where he debuted in AEW, and then you have this whole one. Yeah, man. I mean, the Jade Cargill one, I mean, that was still big news too. I mean, she came over, and I guess AEW is the place to grow talent. I mean, Cody started the company, grew his stock, came back, main evented WrestleMania. Jade Cargill, her stock grew. I mean, she got eyes on her. Now she's over here, and you know, people think Max is next. And hell, that might win next year. We don't know. Like we don't know what's gonna happen. This is a crazy time. This is an interesting period in wrestling right now, but you never know. Max might have his iron claw on the wrestling world next year.
It's going to be interesting because, as you just mentioned, Phil, a friend of ours, Alfred, we were hanging out with one night, and he talked about how AEW, in many ways, some wrestlers view that as a stepping stone. They're like, okay, if I want to get recognized on U.S. television, build up my stock, I'll sign with AEW, build up my brand, my value, then make the jump over to WWE. You look at, I mean, Cody, as you mentioned, Cody was the first one, Jade now most recently. Don't forget Brian Pillman Jr. as well, leaving AEW, going with WWE. CM Punk as well, even though CM Punk has been well established. But that's the thing. It's like for some people, AEW can be viewed as a place, if you can't get into the Performance Center and into NXT right away, go to AEW, build up your stock, who you are, and then make the jump over to WWE, and they'll place you somewhere. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. 2024, what more wrestlers are going to make the jump over from AEW to WWE? We've seen plenty from WWE come over to AEW. I think we'll see more jumping the other way in the new year.
Yeah, I'm hurt, guys. I didn't get a pop for my Iron Claw reference, you know. MJF having his iron claw on the wrestling world. All right, yeah.
I see what you did there.
No, it's okay. I'll go sell your merch. It's
MJF fine. Was only in the movie for like 2 seconds, so it was kind of hard for me to...
didn't say anything. We could talk about it, right? The movie's out now, so spoiler alert.
Yeah, well that's a separate podcast I want to do, Huey. You're welcome to come back. Okay. Let's talk about that Ric Flair, right? Woo! Anyway, moving
terrible
on.
Woo.
Yeah,
faction. That was intentional, a bad woo right there.
Faction of the year. Nominees are The Bloodline, Imperium, Bullet Club, Gold, Judgment Day, Damage Control, the LWO, in the Infantry, the South Pacific Savages, the House of Black, and Chase U. We have a tie. The Bloodline and the Judgment Day have both won.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's apropos. I mean, Bloodline basically running things on SmackDown while the Judgment Day is running things on Raw.
I mean, I could say Bloodline running like the beginning stages of the year and kind of dying it down like in like June-ish, July, and then Judgment Day just taking over the rest of the year, popping up on all the shows, and Dirty Dom running a roughshod everywhere and stuff like that. Yeah.
Dan, I was thinking just Judgment Day, just because like what I mentioned earlier, Bloodline. Unfortunately, I really do think they kind of just jumped the shark. The stories kind of fell flat. Roman's hardly been on TV. And when he is on TV, it does feel like a big deal. He still has that star power. But when he's not there, I feel like they're just kind of like trying to figure out how to kill time. Granted, on some episodes, SmackDown guys and gals have been trying to get pushed more and fill that TV time. But the Bloodline stuff has not been as compelling these last couple months. They really did a good job building up LA Knight, making him feel like a big deal, building him up for his match against Roman at Crown Jewel. But it's, I feel like post SummerSlam, the Bloodline story has not been the same. Who knows what they're going to go next with Solo, and they're planting seeds that Solo is going to, you know, be a bigger star than Roman. But I don't know, man, the story is just, I really hope Cody takes that title off Roman, because that.
Oh no, bro, we're passing Hogan's record. I said this what, 6 months before WrestleMania 39. We're holding this till 40 and past it. Y'all get ready for this, man. Come on, man. I'm ready to walk into September of next year throwing that one up in the air. I mean,
that's the thing. Man. He's not breaking a record. He's just beating someone's reign, title reign. That's the difference. It's like,
oh, no. So technically, we talked about this on the show. We talked about Bob Backlund's record, how he had like that 5-year run. That's not actually true. He lost it twice in between that 5 years. Mm-hmm. So technically, if Roman beats Hogan's record, he technically is the second longest reigning world champion of all time.
Was Backlund really 5 years? I'm trying to remember now.
That's what they say, but he lost it twice.
Then Inoki took it, but then it wasn't like a sanctioned title change.
And then he lost it to some other guy in New York like 3 years later. And then, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, like how the territories mm-hmm. did. Yeah. But yeah, so there's real history to be made here. And we got to see, man. We got to see it through. You know, but like it is what it is. You know, it's at a lull right now. It'll pick back up. I mean, they've put in all this work. They're not just going to end it and not give us, you know, the satisfaction feeling. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I think it will pick up with the Randy or you know, with whoever wins this triple threat match coming up on SmackDown. But I think it's gonna be Randy. I think they're gonna, you know, Roman will be around a little bit more. We'll finally get some more meat on the bone with that Bloodline storyline. But the voting kind of plays out. That people feel the way Baby Huey does, I think, because I just kind of assumed it was a slam dunk. Bloodline wins again, I think, for what, like the third year in a row, probably, for Faction of the Year. And no, now here comes the Judgment Day, and now they're tied with the Bloodline, and possibly there's a strong argument that you could say they're better than the Bloodline just at this point because of what they've done throughout the year. While Bloodline, as Baby Huey said, it's kind of, you know, a bit stagnant for half of it. So, yeah, you know, shout out Bloodline or shout out Judgment Day. I don't know if they will be a thing next year. I mean, who knows if the Bloodline and Judgment Day will be a thing next year at this point.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, we don't know.
Well, Judgment Day, to their credit, there was at one point they all had gold. Not to the level of like other top factions in the past, like Evolution or Four Horsemen. But there was a moment for a picture standpoint, they were able to pose and have all have gold. Rhea was women's champion. Finn and Damian had the tag titles, and Dom had the NXT North American Championship. So there was a moment they all had gold, and that made them feel extra special, like they are running Raw, SmackDown with the tag titles going on both brands, and then also NXT. So, and like I said earlier about Rhea Ripley, how she feels like the main character of Monday Night Raw, that could be said for Judgment Day. They're on TV every single week doing stuff. I mean, they were having feuds with Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso. I mean, it
feels like every Raw main event is either a singles or tag match with a Judgment Day.
Exactly, which ultimately now makes sense, even though it was stretched out a little long. But the point being, they were trying to get to War Games and have that blow-off match at War Games.
War Games!
They've come a long way from being Edge's little minions.
Shout out Dirty Dom, bro. I mean, the match with his dad at Mania. He had that dark match with Cena at the SmackDown in SAC. He just wrestled Punk tonight at the time of this recording at the Madison Square Garden show. Shout out to Dirty Dom. He's doing it, man. Let's move on here. Let's move on. Heel turn of the year. Let's get through the rest of these awards. So your nominees are Swerve Strickland, Drew McIntyre, Asuka, Konosuke, Takeshna, Braun Breaker, Trish Stratus, Jungle Boy, and Jimmy Uso. Your winner, Swerve Strickland, Mogul Embassy. You know, I swerve when I drive, man. I do that. He feels important, man. He does. And I'm happy to see a person of color being in a prominent spot on AEW television. And, you know, his segment with Max and talk about their history. I like that. I think Joe should take the title off of MJF right now, just because, you know, Joe can only lose so many more times. But if it doesn't happen, then Swerve is the right guy to take that thing off of him immediately after. Like, let's do that. I'm happy for Swerve. He's really coming to his own, bro. Yeah,
shout out Swerve. I mean, check the tape. I've been a fan of him like since the NXT days, and I'm very happy to see him kind of rise to prominence in AEW. Much well deserved, and I'm right there with you, Philip. I think he should be the next AEW champion. He should kind of give him the ball and let him run with it and see what he can do. And shout out Swerve. I think he's just done fantastic. Drew McIntyre, I keep seeing his praises about how he's like an understandable heel about what he's going through. And I think the true heel turn of the year probably is Jungle Boy, because who would have thought, you know, Jungle Jack Perry, this lovable little guy, would turn into this heel and possibly destroy AEW with one little phrase on their biggest show of the year, and CM Punk does CM Punk things because of that.
That's neither here nor there. Yes, Baby Huey.
Remember who I voted for. I think I voted for Drew. I'm with you, Bran, as far as Drew's character work this second half of the year has been amazing. As far as, you know, people poking the bear around him, remember the guys in the New Day be like, yeah, you're a champion from no one. And like, people were kind of reminding him about real life events, real life achievements that he did in WWE. He was WWE champion in the pandemic era where no one was present to watch him in person, to cheer him on. And that kind of ate at him. And then he started getting angry, Jey Uso being on Raw. And he's like, why is he here? That guy prevented me an opportunity of getting a title, winning the title in front of my home continent, I guess you'd say, at Clash at the Castle against Roman Reigns. Even though technically it was Solo who cost the match, not Jey, but I get it because Jey's part of the Bloodline. The Bloodline costs him to win the title, even though it was in England or
Wales, you know.
Cardiff, excuse me.
Yeah, that side of the pond, you know.
Yeah, and he's Scottish, but they kept saying it was from his home people. I'm like, well, no, he's from a different country, but I get it, from his home continent. But and then the fact that everyone's like loving Jey, and it's like, whoa, why is everyone loving him? Why do you trust this guy? It's like his character work these last few months has been very understandable. If like you were in that position, you would believe it.
I met Jey Uso this year. Great guy. Fantastic human.
True. But yeah, now Drew McIntyre will claim all your head off too. Now,
hey, let's not do that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you believe Drew, like, in some ways, like, he is the victim in his tragedy, his tragic story that he's experiencing, and even some of his promo work, like the sacrifices he's made to get to the top, and it's just been unfair. It just everyone rooting on Jey, and he's mad at Cody. Like, Cody, you made this deal happen. It's been really amazing character work. Like, it's real human emotion and his motive. It makes sense. Like, you do, to a certain extent, understand where he's coming from. Now, granted, you know, that's different between like a hero and a bad guy. The hero would still find the good and trying to rise above this, but he kind of lent to the dark side. He let that emotion make him do bad things, and that's great cinematic work, as we've seen in Star Wars and other, you know, movie properties like that and TV. So Drew's character work has been awesome. But going back to Swerve, who wins, great choice, great winner right there. He reminds me a lot like LA Knight, as far as someone who organically got himself over without being forced down our throats. He kind of manifested this. Remember, he tweeted out earlier, was it earlier this year or end of last year, he wanted to be the first Black AEW champion. He just tweeted that out, and I think that got into a lot of people's head. Like, he really wants to accomplish the big title. He wants to win that in AEW. So over time, he's been able to get himself over and imprints Nana with his dancing. So it's been a combination of amazing matches as well. So it's, to his credit, Swerve has really gotten himself over organically, and you could feel like this is bubbling up to something big. And so everyone, when he does win it eventually, everyone's going to pop so loud for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you A lot of people, I think if they had Prince Nana doing that little funny dance and stuff, they'd like lean into it and be much more of like a kooky type character. But Swerve, I think he plays it perfectly. He doesn't acknowledge it. He lets Nana do his dance, but he's super serious, stone cold, walks to the ring, and he's a killer.
Mm-hmm. Stone cold, I see what you did there.
What?
Greatest wrestler of all time, right, Baby Huey?
Absolutely.
Exactly. Shawn Michaels is there like somewhere, and Ric Flair.
Shawn's top 10 for sure.
I mean, he's
couldn't beat Stone Cold at WrestleMania though.
Exactly.
I mean, he beat Bret Hart at what, Mania 12?
Yeah, but we're talking about the GOAT, Stone Cold.
Yeah, I mean, if Bret Hart, you know, challenged Stone Cold to a regular wrestling match on a submission match where Stone Cold doesn't even have a submission move, he would have won that match for 13.
He used to use the whatchacallit. What are you talking about?
That's just not true.
He used to use the $1 million dream. What are you talking about?
That's not his submission move. He was told, but he made it his own. The figure four
is not Ric Flair's, but he made it his own.
He evolved.
All right. Anyway, we're going to move on. NorCal Wrestler of the Year. Let's run through these. The nominees are Alpha Zoe, Titus Alexander, Starboy Charlie, Vinny Massaro, Kenny Kay, Anton Voorhees, Brooke Havoc, Loverboy Leo, Jaya Jewel, and Sirza. Congratulations. Alpha Zoe wins for a second year in a row. NorCal had a great year, man. A lot of great talent here. A lot of great talent here. You know, Zoe, Titus, and Vinny have all gone off to Japan to do some stuff. Sirza went to New Zealand, and he came back, and he's just performing at a different level. Loverboy Leo had probably the best performance he's ever put on this past Oasis show against Starboy Charlie. Brooke Havoc, you know, her stars risen, you know, with appearances on the Ring of Honor tapings and whatnot. Anton Voorhees, you know, he's doing his thing. Kenny Kay, I think he's finally starting to get the praise that he deserves. And Jaya, he's just popping off and making the rounds around here. So congrats to all those guys. Congrats mm-hmm. to every single one of them. Do you guys have any quick comments?
I was going to say Titus. Props to him as far as I think we can all agree West Coast Pro Wrestling is the biggest wrestling promotion right now in the Bay Area as far as you know, turnouts, attendance for their shows. What talent they're able to bring in, just the buzz that they generate. West Coast Pro Wrestling has been doing an amazing job for the Bay Area NorCal wrestling scene. And with that being said, Titus was their champion for the majority of this year. So props to him for leading the charge, being the face of this company or the promotion, and having a great match with Starboy. And Starboy, congrats to him finally. It was kind of like an ongoing story for a couple of years, this rivalry between the two of them. Finally, Starboy Charlie gets the big victory over him, and he's finally champion now. So I'm excited to see where Starboy does in the new year, continue on as champion. Then Titus was able to go off to Japan and expand on his own career and just learning more from Japan. But I will admit, I cast my vote for Brooke Havoc, actually. I want to give her a big shout-out because, let's be real, dude, she's been busy. I think every single weekend, she's wrestling somewhere. Fridays and Saturdays, she is traveling to different states, wrestling for different promotions. But also, I think at least multiple times a month, she's wrestling here in the Bay Area or Sacramento, somewhere in like a two-hour radius here. So as far as really wrestling a lot here in NorCal, is Brooke Havoc. She's putting in the work. I know she has had a couple of major knee injuries, but, you know, she did wrestle or train with the Nightmare Factory with Cody Rhodes and QT Marshall. But now that she's fully healed this year, she's been wrestling all over the place. She's got in tremendous shape. She, you know, documents all that on social media. But she wrestles a lot all over with Hood Slam, Agua, Big Time Wrestling. She's been all over, Action Coast as well.
She's in LA a lot now recently. Like she just did our Oasis show, then she was down in LA. So she's
Oasis as well. Yeah. So that's my thing. And I think she's done West Coast at one point this year as well, if I remember correctly. But
but
I'm just saying, you know, as far as NorCal wrestling, she is wrestling a lot in this area and she's putting on great matches. Oh, South Bay as well. That's another one. She's putting in the work, you know, in the Bay Area. And so I just want to give her props that she is putting the work, the effort, traveling all over here and putting on great matches for us here in the Bay Area.
Absolutely. A commentator of the year. The nominees are Michael Cole, Wade Barrett, Booker T, Ian Riccoboni, Nigel McGuinness, Tony Schiavone, James Kincaid, Veda Scott, Kevin Gill, and Jordan Castle. The winner was Michael Cole. The flowers are just still coming in for Michael Cole. You know, I mean, he's always been this good. It's now people are finally starting to realize. Congrats to him, man. You know, he's somebody that I study when you're, you know, when you're honing the craft and everything like that. So, shout out to Michael Cole, man. We're gonna keep it going because I know the people are.
Longtime listeners of this podcast know I would always sing praise for Kevin Kelly, how he should have won this award multiple times over.
And
not this year. I'll be honest, he was kind of trash. He signed with AEW, and I don't know what happened to poor Kevin Kelly. He just did not have it this year. Ian Riccoboni, though, he's been good.
It's what happens, man.
No, shout out Wade Barrett. I think he's been doing amazing work. I was torn between him and Nigel. Nigel, I know he just recently signed with AEW back in June when Collision launched, but I loved him in his time in NXT, so to hear him again with AEW, and I love he continues the ongoing feud with Bryan Danielson. Anytime he can take a dig at Bryan Danielson, he'll do it on commentary. It's hilarious. Phil, when you and I saw his magic show, he was still taking digs at Bryan Danielson during his magic show. You need to check out his magic show just for that.
That's a commitment to the work, brother.
Yes. Like 20 years of hating on his rival, Bryan Danielson. So, yes, I love Nigel.
I love it, too. All right, show of the year. The nominees are WrestleMania 39, Wrestle Kingdom 17, Impact Wrestling's Bound for Glory, AEW Revolution, West Coast Pro's Whiplash, AEW New Japan Presents Forbidden Door, Survivor Series War Games, NXT No Mercy, and Stardom All-Star Grand Queendom. Ladies and gentlemen, your winner is the Showcase of the Immortals, WrestleMania 39. I mean, you had Rey and Dominic, you had Rhea and Charlotte, you had the Usos and KO and Sammy. First time a tag team match has ever main evented WrestleMania since, what, WrestleMania 1? And then, of course, you have what Roman and Cody did. I mean, it's one of the best WrestleManias of all time. Highest grossing WrestleMania of all time, you know, as the Tribal Chief likes to remind us. So, I mean, you were actually in the building.
Somebody was.
Amazing energy. SoFi Stadium, great stadium, beautiful stadium. It always looks great on TV when the Niners play the Rams, and it's always full of Niner fans there. So, great stadium, but just being there for WrestleMania, the electricity of Hollywood, the way they present it as a Hollywood show, it was just so much fun. And even though Cody didn't finish the story, but all the other matches, Flair versus Rhea, Becky, Lita, Trish wrestling, and the tag team match they had going on. Dom, his entrance coming out with the police, that was so great. Ray coming out with, you know, Eddie Guerrero inspired entrance. So just, I can go on just how amazing that show was. And can't wait for Philadelphia next year.
I'm going to Philadelphia. Look, I had the workers' experience of WrestleMania. I just hung out with a whole bunch of indie workers. I am going to WrestleMania this year.
I mean, it's going to the link.
It's the 40th anniversary. I might as well be there, right? They might as well have the microphone Messiah in the house. You know, in case Michael Cole gets some strep, I'll be there ready to go. I'll do the vintage Orton. Oh my, could it be? I'll hit all his greatest hits.
By that time, do you think he'll or you, if you're gonna fill in, you'll have a reason to say it's boss time?
We'll see
about his Royal Rumble. Yeah.
You never know. You never know. She's training. We don't know. All right, cinema of the year. So I've heard some people question why this was named this cinema. I mean, things that we watched unfold as if they were a movie. That's why I named this. All right, guys? You know, so here we are. The nominees are Christian Cage becomes the patriarch, you know. He's not a stepfather. He's the father that stepped up. The Bloodline Civil War, MJF and Adam Cole's bromance, Dragunov versus Carmelo Hayes, Hangman Page versus Swerve Strickland, Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus, and then Orange Cassidy's International Championship run. Ladies and gentlemen, your winner is the Bloodline Civil War. if somebody's going to win an award for cinema, it might as well be the head of the table. Am I right?
Yeah, we've kind of been dunking on the Bloodline a little bit on this show, saying how it's kind of fallen off. But when it was good, which is when the Civil War was happening, you know, coming out of WrestleMania, all that stuff, it was still some of the best stuff WWE's put out there. So definitely well-deserved. And I don't know exactly what the, you know, you ran through what cinema means, but I think just in terms of storylines, I think the Bloodline, when it's good, when it's popping, is still really good.
I mean, you had the trial of Sami Zayn, the Royal Rumble spot that we talked about, Jay being conflicted, you know, the 40-minute segment that opened a SmackDown with Roman kneeling and then not agreeing to you know, change his ways. And, you know, this man creased his Jordans. Like, that was the real, yeah. Moment of the year.
Jay swerving Roman and said, telling Jimmy, you're out of the Bloodline and I'm out too. Yeah. I am super kicking.
Deuces, ooses, you know, yeah. Yeet.
Yeah. Yeet. And just, yeah, Jay going rogue. We didn't know what he was going to do next with his career, ultimately, you know, signing over with Raw when Cody made the big announcement at was it Payback where he made the announcement that there was a trade when Kevin Owens went to SmackDown?
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, no, Bloodline, I get it, man. They, when they're firing all cylinders, they are the most compelling story for the last few years now. I do AEW, to their credit, have been trying to do some better stories. Love it or hate it, you know, they got the stuff going on with Adam Cole and MJF.
Hate it. Terrible.
So the segments they do outside the arena has been some funny, interesting stuff. Now, where they go with the Devil storyline, that's yet to be seen. Hopefully, maybe we'll get some conclusion this weekend on their next pay-per-view. But, you know, Swerve's story has been interesting. Him and Hangman, that's been a great feud. I just hope AEW just kind of starts working on some more storylines, some compelling storylines that gets me excited to tune in every single week. That's my big issue with AEW right now. It just, I need that buzz, a reason to tune in every single week. So
it's not the 2019 run it was, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. Given what the TV deal came in October, it's not the it's not that little run it was where it felt like a territory with the smoky arena. It's, it's long gone. I mean,
a quote unquote moment, I think, just overarching in 23 would just be kind of, you know, the down. I don't try to be too negative, but just kind of, you know, the fall off of AEW this year, because 2021 they signed Punk, Danielson, and Cole. Yep. 2020, you know, the beginning of 22 they were rocking, and then, you know, the CM Punk, you know, Elite stuff happened, and then that kind of was the, not the beginning of the end, because they think there'll still be a company, they'll still be successful, but they definitely weren't able to kind of get that momentum going like they had in at the end of 2021 mm-hmm. and 2020.
Yeah, no, they'll still be a company. I mean, I saw they're going to make, what, $175 million for the year? But then I also saw a report that says they're losing about $30 million. So is that $175 after the loss of the $30 million, or do you deduct the $30
million? That's not sure either.
Yeah, that's another thing. But, I mean, they're still making money or whatever. I still feel just run smaller venues. Just, you know, just make it intimate. Only run a big arena when it's a pay-per-view just to make it feel special. That's all, man. Like what NXT does, bro. Like, it's like Reno says, don't change the formula.
And they've showed they can sell tickets. Like, I'll be honest, that the 2024 London show, I did not think they were going to sell out or sell like 35,000 the first day. And this Sting Greensboro match or show, they're almost sold out. They've sold almost 10,000 tickets, and there's still like 3 months left to go. So they're selling tickets for like the bigger shows. It's just the week-to-week television is the issue right now.
Yeah, they got to fix that. All right, match of the year. Your nominees are Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship, WrestleMania 39. Bryan Danielson versus MJF 60-minute Iron Man match for the AEW World Championship at Revolution. Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay for the IWGP US Championship, Wrestle Kingdom 17. Swerve Strickland versus Hangman Page, Texas Deathmatch, Full Gear. Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley, SmackDown Women's Championship, WrestleMania 39. FTR versus Juice Robinson and Jay White, 2 out of 3 falls match for the AEW tag titles on Collision. Chad Gable versus Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship on the September 4th 2023 edition of Raw. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Speedball Mike Bailey, New Japan Strong Lone Star Shootout 2023. Ilya Dragunov versus Carmelo Hayes for the NXT Championship No Mercy, and then Mercedes Moné versus Kairi for the IWGP Women's Title New Japan Battle in the Valley back in February. What do you guys think won?
If you ask the internet, like, I think most people would say Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega.
Well, he didn't. They didn't win.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't win. I'll tell you that right now. Who do you think won?
I kind of forgot who I picked, to be honest. I think there was, like, it kind of came down to the Danielson, MJF, Omega, Ospreay, you know, Swerve and Hangman, but I was there, so that's a little. But, I mean, honestly, that FTR Juice Robinson, Jay White tag, Magic Collision, it was so good. It was an hour long.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. That's what won.
There we go. I mean, it's just so different. You see not only a hour-long television match, but an hour-long tag team match. And I think that just showed how good it is because there was commercial breaks in the middle. I think sometimes commercial breaks can kind of take you out of the moment, but that match was just so good that it kind of leapfrogged all those hurdles that was put in front of them.
So really, a tag team match won your match of the year.
Yeah, not FTR. Even. Yeah, that's crazy, right?
Wow.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was like, okay, I guess that's the great thing about these awards, man. You never know. You can have an idea, like, but you never know. You really never know.
I do want to give a shout out to my twin, Gunther. That match with Chad Gable was amazing. But a lot of his feuds this year, the matches, the blow-off matches have been awesome. I do want to give him props for, you know, he was one of, if not my wrestler of the year, just because what he's done for that IC title and made it such a prestige title once again. And it means something very important. Now, granted, the IC title will probably never main event a pay-per-view
What are you talking about? Gunther versus Roman, Bash at Berlin, title for title.
Well, okay. A little foreshadowing prediction for next year from you. But I'm just saying, between the two main titles for Raw and SmackDown, either Roman or Seth or whoever's the champions of time are going to main event a show. So Gunther, I like how they make him feel special and main event a lot of episodes of Monday Night Raw in between pay-per-views. So I think that's a great way to make that title feel special, as he main events and carries a lot of episodes of Monday Night Raw this past year. So, and the matches have been incredible. As we talked earlier, Drew versus Sheamus versus him, WrestleMania, his matches with Chad Gable, that storyline.
The man who possibly had the best Miz match of all time last
week. Yeah, exactly. Him versus Miz, him versus Ciampa. I saw that Raw at SAP Center. He's been incredible. Disagrees.
Phillip's going to put over his boy
WrestleMania 27.
Oh, okay.
I'll just play. Oh my God, I don't even believe myself. I started choking. Jesus. But shout out to Gunther. He do the damn thing. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Male Wrestler of the Year. This is the one we've been waiting for. This is, can we say the biggest casty of them all? I don't know. They're all big. They're all massive.
Mm-hmm.
They're all massive. Here we go. Male Wrestler of the Year. Your nominees are Alex Shelley, Speedball Mike Bailey, Sonata, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion Seth freaking Rollins, the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, the Cleaner Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay, the Intercontinental Champion, the Ring General Gunther, the AEW World Champion Maxwell Jacob Friedman, and the Undisputed WWE Universal Champion, the head of the table, the Tribal Chief, Mr. Roman Reigns. Now, Roman has won this award for 3 years in a row. He won 2020, he won 2021, and he won 2022. He didn't win this year.
Oof. Shocking.
What do you mean shocking? What do you mean?
Three-time defending Male Wrestler of the Year for the casties. I mean,
I know.
Is this foreshadowing for his Universal or his Undisputed title reign?
These casties don't reflect anything that happens in the WWE program. Ladies and gentlemen, your winner and first time ever winning a casty, Gunther, the Intercontinental Champion, has been voted the Male Wrestler of the Year. I mean, hell of a run, man. I mean, an unbelievable run. And you know what? Whatever pay-per-view, I assume, you know, Roman's going to be on Royal Rumble. I'm sure he's going to be at the Elimination Chamber and obviously Mania. Maybe, you know, just we don't know how long Gunther's going to hold this thing, bro. Maybe whatever the next pay-per-view is after Mania, you have him main event defending the IC title. Maybe he drops it there, you know, just just kind of make whatever pay-per-view that is feel special? I don't know.
I wonder. Well, I kind of explained my position on Gunther a second ago, just how awesome his matches were. I love the hard hitting, the variety of matches that he has with different people, the different finishers he uses on different people. He doesn't have one main finisher. He switches it up per person. And you're right, Phil, like, this title reign's been awesome. It's been long, but great. And I'm curious to see who's going to eventually take it off him. I wonder, you know, with CM Punk coming back, did he obviously is going to take a spot at WrestleMania in one of the main events for WrestleMania, most likely CM Punk is. So I kind of wonder whatever spot CM Punk takes, I kind of wondered that's where Gunther was going to be placed. Because I think a lot of people thought 2024 could have been a big year for Gunther to maybe win a world title at some point.
He will, and that's in Berlin.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe they push that back. So maybe WrestleMania, he drops the IC title to someone if they build someone up by that point. And then, yeah, maybe Gunther wins it when they go to Berlin later on in the year. But, yeah, I love Gunther. He's currently right now the most excited person I get to – when I hear he's wrestling, he's the most excited person I enjoy seeing wrestle live or on TV. So,
yeah,
I cannot wait to see what else they have lined up for him next year.
I mean, we went to the SmackDown and SAC, the house show at Chase, and then the Raw at SAP. Three completely different styles of matches. He wrestled Seth Rollins, he wrestled Chad Gable, he wrestled Ciampa. Mm-hmm. Three completely different styles of matches, and they were all great. So he's a true a special specimen. He really is. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything for the Ring General? The Ring General.
I mean, to be honest, I'm a little surprised that Gunther won. I thought maybe Roman was going to take it again. Personally,
Let's see.
Voted for Will Ospreay. I just felt as though he had. I know because I'm the little internet mark, but I just thought he had like some of the best matches of the year. His character work, he kind of stepped it up a little bit with that like English bruv, you know, F boy type persona. But Gunther kind of, you know, did what Will Ospreay was doing in WWE, which is almost like more spectacular. He was having fantastic matches. Different types of matches, different types of wrestlers. So, honestly, looking back at it, should not be that shocking. Because
yeah, I mean, so Roman Reigns, Will Ospreay, and Seth Rollins all tied in at 2 votes. The second most was MJF at 3, and then Gunther just took it home. He just took it home. A whopping 44%. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Gunther. What Roman Reigns hasn't been doing, Gunther's been doing. He's been there pretty much every week. He's having, like, really, once again, he had arguably the Miz's best match on, like, a kind of random episode of Raw. And so he's doing this not just on the PLEs. He's doing this on television, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's it for the Cassidys. All the awards have been given out.
Woo-hoo. Good job,
yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah. Congrats. Thank you, Baby Huey, for joining us, man. We appreciate you, guy. You know, you've been around. You've seen our growth from our little rinky dink Chabot days to our little rinky dink Zoom days. No, felt like we were more professional when we had a studio. Now we're just at home.
Well, everyone's home now post COVID or because of the COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
I think we're all used to like us or people in general doing virtual or remote podcasting now and using some sort of streaming service to record it and get it all done. But thank you guys for having me on. I really do appreciate it for once again offering me to come up here and just recap the year that was 2023 in pro wrestling and by way of the Casty Awards. Always a fun time with you guys, and looking forward to see more of what you guys do in the new year. Hope to see you guys do more interviews and just more episodes, all that good stuff. You guys always respect the work you guys do.
Yeah, the interviews really took a step back. I know 2022, I did 22 interviews. This year, I've only done 10. But I mean, look at the quality of the interviews. I mean, Jacob Fatu doesn't do interviews. He did one. You know, Danhausen got on the show. Kurt Angle was on the show. You know what I'm saying? So like, and then of course the talent that's around the Bay. You know, got a couple of them. So you know, thank you to everybody that's been a guest on the show this year, and it's only up from here, man. 2024, I'm looking to just blow this thing out of the water. I mean, I'm looking to start recording as soon as the clock strikes midnight. Yes, sir.
Yes. Are going to see you wrestle in the Bay Area soon, like on a non-student show.
So you know what? You know what's funny? I keep hearing I look like this Sancho DeMira guy.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I wear glasses. He doesn't.
I'm sorry. I was confused. I'm so sorry about that. So,
Sancho DeMira. I mean, he's out there, man. I don't know. He's popping up around places. You never know where he's gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. Their show's starting as soon as next week. He could be there. We don't know. You have to get with his special counsel. Brandon, you have any closing thoughts for the people?
I mean, thank you guys for listening. Very appreciative to all you guys, whether you just listen or you do send us questions. Thank you. Love you guys all. And, you know, going to continue to do it back again in 2024. It's going to be a good time. Also, shout out Baby Huey. Check out his stuff in the Click. You know, maybe you see Brian there. You know, tease and piece of Brian. He's not on here anymore, but maybe he's going to be on in the Click. Who knows?
I got to find some time. My work schedule and life in general the last few months have been really busy. So I hope to get back on track this week. That's my goal. So, but in the meantime, I did have some interviews over the last couple months with WWE and AEW people, wrestlers. And so please follow In the Click wherever you get your podcasts at, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. In the Click, and follow us on social at In the Click. Email us intheclick@gmail.com. It's gonna get really busy soon because you know Royal Rumble season followed by the road to WrestleMania, baby. So gonna be really busy the next 4 months.
You interviewed Bret Hart, man. I mean, it's
crazy. Oh yeah, that's right. Thank you to Big Time Wrestling for letting me interview Bret Hart day after Thanksgiving. That special intimate show. I need to edit that video. I have the video. Subscribe to In the Click's YouTube channel when I get that interview up. My goal is in the coming days get that interview.
Did you have happy Brett or cranky Brett?
Oh, he was happy. He was great. Yeah. So much fun to hang out with.
Yes.
So he signed all my action figures, took a photo with my brother and I, and we had a really great chat backstage, not in front of everyone. It was a really fun one-on-one chat, just talking to him about some stuff. And then afterwards, hang with my brother. We had some fun interactions with him there, too. It was great stuff. I can't say enough good things about the best there is, the best there was, the best there will be, the excellence of execution, Bret the Hitman Hart. Thank you to Big Time Wrestling as well, to Taylor and to them as well, to
Taylor and Lori.
Taylor and Lori as well for doing that as well, for hosting it. Taylor and Lori for hosting it and just... It was so much fun. I can't thank them enough for that.
Thank you guys. I'll make sure to say hi when I walk in the building. Yes. You guys be working. I don't want to bother you. Thank you guys so much. 2023, great year for the BC. Great year for all of us individually with all the individual projects that we've been working on. 2024 is only going to be higher. Thank you guys so much. As always, be safe and stay dangerous. Yes, sir.
This has been the Bulletcast. Thank you for listening.